old she was. She might have been like 6 or 8. Don't know how old she was. We just know that she was young and she was just a small girl. And the start of the story is actually really sad. It's kind of weird, and I don't think it's anything anyone here has experienced. But this little girl, when she was young and she was living in her village, which was in Israel, and she was being a part of this family of God, and she knew about God and that God had created people in this earth, and she knew that God loved them, and she was part of a family that loved God. And then all of a sudden one day, she was taken away from her family. Somebody came and they grabbed her and they took her away from her family, away from her home, and they took her to another country called Syria. It was a long way away. It would be like somebody from Australia coming and grabbing you and taking you to Australia. Would that be cool? Some of you probably think it would be cool because you could go to like some of those cool places at Gold Coast. But it's not like that, okay? They took this little girl and they took her away to Syria. And when she got to Syria, this little girl, she ended up being like a slave. They say she was a servant, but she was really a slave. And she went to work for this family. She had to work hard. She had to work for this lady at this house. And she would have had to do all the hard jobs, like the washing and the cleaning and the dishes. And she was having to work hard every day. But also while she was in that home, she got somewhere to live and she got her food each day. But she worked hard for this family. And the family, their names were Naaman. Okay, so Mr. and Mrs. Naaman, they were very important in Syria. Like in Syria, they were some of the most important people. So in Syria, there was the king. So who was there? The who? The who? The king, there was a king. And then next to the king was his right-hand man, and his name was Naaman. What was his name? Naaman. Naaman. So Naaman was probably almost the most important person next to the king in Syria. The reason he was most important was because he was a mighty warrior. Okay, he was the guy that the king would send out into battle, and he would lead all the soldiers in battle. In fact, legend has it, it doesn't tell us this in the Bible, but the people of Israel, they believe that in fact one day when the king of Syria sent his soldiers into battle and Naaman was a young soldier, that he was the one who'd pulled the arrow back on his bow and let it fly, and that arrow had gone and killed King Ahab, who was disguised as a normal soldier in his chariot. Some of you know that story. And some people believe, lots of the Jewish family, they believe that that was Naaman who pulled that arrow. And because of that, he became the commander of all of Syria's army. So here's this guy. He is the most important person next to the king. But in his house is this little girl. And she's working as a slave in his house. Now, I don't know about you, but I was thinking about that this week. If somebody came and took one of my kids and took them to Australia to be a slave, I would think they wouldn't be very happy, right? And all they would want to do is get back home. But we know with this little girl, she, you know what she decided to do? She decided to work hard. And she did everything her master and mistress told her to do, and she worked hard with her hands. We know that because her master and mistress, they trusted her because there was something else in the story. Now, Naaman was a mighty soldier. He was a warrior, but he wasn't just a warrior. He was something else. He was a leper. It meant that his skin had a really bad disease and there were sores over it and they never ever healed. It was always horrible. And it started to get all over his body. So even though he was really important, because he had leprosy, it started to be that he couldn't go and be with other people. In fact, even when he was with the king, he'd probably have to keep his distance from the king because Naaman now was a leper. He was really important, a mighty warrior, but oh, he was a leper. How sad is that? Now, I was thinking about that little girl. Maybe she's living in the house and she's working hard for the Mrs. Naaman and doing all the dishes and cleaning the toilets and making the beds and doing all the work around. And she's just having to do whatever she's told and she's tired each day. And then maybe when she finds out that her master's got leprosy, I was thinking she'd probably think, oh, good job. You guys are so mean taking me away from my family, so mean taking me from my home. I'm glad you've got leprosy. Do you think she thought that? No. I'll tell you what, it's interesting when we read in 2 Kings 5,
Look at what it says up here. This is what the little girl did, because this is what she thought. She said this to Mrs. Naaman: "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." You see, she knew that in Israel that they had a God who loved them. And she knew there was a prophet there who used to communicate with them the message of God and that he could perform miracles. And she knew that if Naaman went to see him, he would be healed. Now, here's what's interesting if you think about this. Why would she say that to Mrs. Naaman? Like, wouldn't it be better to let old Naaman carry on having leprosy? But when she said, "if only," do you know what that word means? It means she went, "I really, really wish that Naaman could be better." You see that? Not only did she work hard with her hands and love Mr. and Mrs. Naaman with her hands, but also her heart loved them. She really wanted Naaman not to be sick anymore. She so wanted Naaman to be better. And yet Naaman was like her enemy. But she wanted Naaman to be better. And so not only did she love with her heart, but she loved with her head. She said this. She might have been shaky maybe. And she went, "Mrs. Naaman, oh, I don't know how to say it, but you know how the master has leprosy? Well, oh, I've been thinking about it and I so wish that Master Naaman could be cured of his leprosy that I've got to tell you something. If Naaman would just go to Israel to the prophet, my God could make him better." Now, if you were Mrs. Naaman and this was one of your slaves from another country, you know what I think? I'd be thinking, huh, little girl, as if I'm going to believe you. That's like fairy tales. God can't do that. There's no God that can fix my husband. And you just want my husband to go down to Israel. It's a trap. But you know what? Mrs. Naaman believed the little girl. Why do you think Mrs. Naaman believed the little girl? Any ideas? Why would that be? Why would it be? I think it's because she knew that that little girl loved them and she knew she could trust her. So Mrs. Naaman went to Mr. Naaman and said, "Naaman, the little girl from Israel said that you should go see the prophet in Israel." But somehow, you know when you tell someone a story and then they tell a story on and they tell a story on, the facts get changed. So by the time Naaman went to the king, he'd changed the story a little bit. He went to the king and said, "Oh, king, can you please send me to Israel to the king? Because they say that I can be healed of my leprosy." And so the king went, "Yep, I'll write you a letter." So the king wrote a letter. "Dear King of Israel, this is my fine, mighty warrior Naaman. Please heal him." And he folded up the letter and he gave it to Naaman. And then he gave Naaman a whole lot of soldiers and some horses. And on the back of the horses, he put, you know what? He put about this much gold on the back of one horse, like as heavy as I am of gold on the back of one horse. Whoa, that's heavy. And then he put about four of me of silver on the back of other horses. And then he put a whole lot of beautiful clothes and he said, "Take these as a gift to the king of Israel and tell him that he needs to heal you." And here's the letter. So Naaman got all the soldiers, all the gold, the silver, the clothes, and they rode down into Israel. Now, normally when they went to Israel, they were going there to fight. Remember, because that's what happened with the little girl. That's why she came back, was when they went there to fight. But this time they were going there for help. And as they rode in to the city and Naaman came before the king, he presented the letter. And the king got the letter and he read it. "Dear King of Israel, I'm sending to you Naaman, my most famous warrior. Please heal him of his leprosy." And when the king read it, he went, "What?" What did he say? What? He did. You read it in your Bible. And what? Who does he think I am? And he ripped his clothes because he thought, it's impossible to heal you. Look how sick you are. Now, news got all around the kingdom that the king had ripped his clothes, because when the king rips his clothes, everybody hears. Okay? And do you know who heard? The prophet. His name was Elisha. He heard the message. They sent a message to him and they said, "Elisha, the king's ripped his clothes." And he said, "Well, why has he ripped his clothes?" "Because this guy from Syria came with leprosy and had a letter to the king. And the king thinks that the king of Syria is picking a fight." And so Elisha sent a message and he said this. He said, "King,
don't need to rip your clothes over this. So he said, you read it, 2 Kings 5, don't need to rip your clothes. You send him to me and he will see that there's a God in Israel. And so that's what happened. The king said, Naaman, sorry, I can't help, but go and see Elisha the prophet and apparently he'll look after you. So Naaman and all the soldiers and all the gold and the silver and the clothes, they rode off and they came to Elisha's town. And he knocked on the door. And Elisha didn't come to the door. The servant called Gehazi came. He sort of came to the door and went, what do you want? It wasn't even Elisha. And Naaman went, oh, I've come here to get my leprosy healed. And the servant went, well, my master said that you've got to go down the Jordan River and you've got to get in there and have 7 baths. How many baths? 7. You've got to dip yourself in the water 7 times. And then he closed the door, bang, like that. And Naaman was like, how rude. And he went back to his soldiers and he says, we're going home. And they said, why is that? And he was angry. Naaman was angry. He said, how rude. The prophet didn't even come and see me face to face. And they want me to go and wash in the dirty Jordan River. We've got much better rivers in Syria. They're much cleaner. I don't want to wash in the dirty Jordan River. And so he said, we're going home. Well, one of the soldiers said to him, hey, wait a sec, Naaman, excuse me, sir. If the prophet had come out and waved his arms around and asked you to do something great to be healed, would you have done it? He's just asked you to do a simple thing. Go down and have a bath 7 times in the river. Why don't you try? And Naaman thought, oh, yeah. I'll try. So Naaman went down to the river. And he got down to the river and he started to wash and he washed and he washed and he washed and, oh, that didn't work. So he went a second time and he washed and he's washing and hook. Hey, you wait down there, dude. What are you doing? You can't watch somebody bath. And so that was 2 times. So he washed again. And that was how many times? 3 times. And he washed again. How many times? 4. And he washed again. He's like, how many? 5. And he's like, it's not even working. How many times was he to wash? 7. Okay, so he washed again. Oh, he's scrubbing so hard. And he's like, man, hasn't worked. 6 times and it hasn't worked. Not even a bit. But how many times did the prophet say? 7. So he went down, he washed again, and he washed, and he washed, and he washed. And he thought, oh, maybe. And he went, oh! He went, wow, look at that. Don't look in there. He went, wow, look at that. And it tells us in the Bible that his hand was like a nice young baby's skin, which I think some babies' young skin isn't that smooth, but it's meant to sound like that. It's nice and smooth. It was like new skin. It was beautiful. And Naaman was like, wow! And so he gathered up his soldiers and they went rushing back from the Jordan River to Elisha's house. And this time, guess who was at the door? Elisha was standing at the door. And he's like, oh, thanks, Elisha, thanks so much. I've got gold for you, I've got silver for you, I've got clothes for you. And Elisha went, no. I don't want any of that. You don't pay for this kind of thing. And then do you know what Naaman said? He said, now I know that the true God is the God of Israel, and I'm going to worship him from now on. How cool is that? Now, in the story, there's some pretty cool people. There's Elisha who performed the miracle, didn't he? Like, he's the one that gave the instructions, so he's pretty cool. Who else do you think is pretty cool in the story that made the miracle happen? Who was it that really healed his hand? Yep. God did. So God was the God of Israel. He's the God that we know too, and he loves us, and he's powerful, and he did the miracle. So Elisha and God were cool. But who do you think is the other hero in the story? Who is it? Yep. Naaman, who had the hand, he's not that much of a hero because he's the kind of guy that didn't even want to wash. Who's the hero? The little girl is the hero. When you get that, here's another verse. Look at this sentence up here.
This is amazing because a long time later, Jesus came. And when Jesus was here, he was about to start doing incredible things and to tell people about God's love and do all these miracles. And the people at his town were saying to Jesus that he should go away. They didn't want him. And he actually tells this story about Naaman when he starts his work on earth. And I was thinking about that, that story would never have happened without a little girl. She was the hero because she used her hands to love her masters. She loved them. She longed for her master to be healed. And she used her mouth and she asked, told the words, "You should go to Israel." And you know what I like about that story? Is that this little girl loved with her head, her hands, with her heart. And because of that, two things happened. Naaman's hand was healed, cured. But something else happened. What happened to Naaman's heart? He decided that there was one God, the God of Israel, and that that's who he would worship. So that little girl changed his hands, his whole body, but also his heart. Hey, think about this sentence, our last sentence. So, just on to the next slide, thanks. This is one we've been learning. I know you guys were learning about being kind with your words last week, and we've been learning about this downstairs as well. The girl who loved, see, she was kind and compassionate and forgiving. She was all of those things. And can you put up that other slide, choose, thanks? Because you know what? Today, here's the lesson today. Is that because we've been loved by Jesus, we need to be people who choose to love. And that's what Andrew and Raymond have been talking about with the hearts and the heads and the hands. And we're going to do some more of that now. But I want you to remember the story. The little girl who loved, she chose to love. She chose to love with her head, with her hands, and with her heart. And she was kind and compassionate and forgiving. And you know what? That meant that Naaman's life was never the same. Hey, Andrew and Raymond are going to come. And I've got some other stories that we don't have the ending for. You're going to have to end the stories, okay? So go back to your tables. Be ready to go.